Scene 1. This is first the synopsis. We witnessed the meeting of 16 individualities, inspired by a lecture just given by Benedictus in the House of Maria. Their conversation becomes decisive for the inner path of Johannes Thomasius, the young painter. This first meeting contains all the motives which will continue in supersensible pictures and happenings, the doubts and objections of the two scientists, Professor Capasius and Dr. Strotter, the awe-inspiring seership of Theodora, Felix and Felicia Balda's mountain solitude, the other Maria's curative forces, Theodosius's warmth of heart, Romanus's down-to-earth practicality, German's wit, Helena's illusionary enthusiasm. The impact of their joys and sorrows is absorbed by Johannes and leads to his first inner experience in the next scene. The end of the synopsis of Scene 1. Scene 1. A room, rose-red in tone. On the right is seen from the audience, the door to a lecture hall. The various persons enter gradually one after another from this hall and linger for a time in the room. Here they discuss some of the things which have been aroused in them by a lecture to which they have just listened. Maria and Johannes enter first, then others join them. The lecture ended some time earlier, and the following is the continuation of conversations already begun in the hall. Maria. It grieves me so, my friend, to see you lamed in spirit and in soul. And I must see the loving bond uniting us 10 years as fruitless too. Now, this momentous hour, wherein we have been privileged to hear so much that rays forth light into the dark depths of soul, has brought you only pain. With many a word our speaker uttered, I felt within my heart how deeply wounding it must be for you. When formerly I looked into your eyes, they flashed back joy at all they saw. And then your soul held fast in pictures full of beauty what sunlight and bright air, revealing riddles of existence, by flooding earthly objects, can paint in fleeting moments. Your hand was still unskilled. In glowing, sturdy color, you could not yet embody what hovered full of life before your soul. Yet nonetheless there lived in both our hearts the glowing faith that surely a future day would add the art and cunning of the hand to joy of soul, immersed so deeply in the stream of life. What searching spirit forces can reveal about the wondrous nature of the universe would pour forth happiness from your creative work into the hearts of men, or so we thought and hoped. A future blessing in the guise of highest beauty, springing from your art. Thus I painted for myself your spirit's goal. But now the forces of your inmost being seem to be extinguished. Creative joy is dead. Your arm that wielded once the brush with youthful strength seems almost paralyzed. Johannes. Alas, it is so. I feel all former fire had disappeared out of my soul. With dullness only does my eye behold the glancing beauty that sunlight pours out over everything. My heart stays nearly numb when changing moods of air are wafting all around me. My hand will not be moved to force into a lasting present what fleetingly from grounds primeval the elemental powers may conjure. Creative joyous urge no more wells up, and darkness shrouds the ways of life for me. Maria, I must deplore so deeply that this should come to you from everything that is for me the highest, the stream of heavenly life. O friend, within this changing play we call existence, a spirit life, eternal, hides itself, and in this life each soul can weave and move. I feel myself in spirit forces that work as though in ocean depths. I see the life of men as rippling wavelets on the surface of the sea. I feel myself at one with that deep sense of life for which men strive unceasingly, and which appears to me as simply our own being's revelation. I've seen how often this was closely joined in someone's inmost core. It raised him to the highest height to which the human heart aspires. Yet, as this lives in me, it shows itself as evil fruit as soon as I allow myself to come in touch with any other human being. This fate of mine reveals itself in all I sought to give to you, who came to me in love, for at my side you wished to tread courageously the path that was to lead to noble work. And what has come of this? All that reveals itself to me as purest life in its own inmost truth has brought your spirit only death. Johannes. Yes, that is so. What bears your soul aloft to light-filled heights of heaven hurls me down, when, feeling it with you, into dark gulfs of death. In friendship's radiant dawn you led me onward to the revelation that pours forth light into those realms of dark which every night unconsciously the human soul must enter, where wanders too the erring human being when death's blackness seems to scoff at all life's truest meaning. Then you affirmed for me the earnest truth of life's return. At that time I was able to imagine that, gradually maturing, I'd become a genuine spirit man. Seemed self-evident that keenness of my eye and the creative certainty as artist would only bloom for me out of your fire's noble force. I let it work upon me then, this fire. But oh, it robbed me of the interplay of my soul forces. Remorselessly it pressed out of my heart all faith I had in world and life. And I've come so far, I even lack the clarity to know if I should doubt or should believe the revelations from the spirit world. I have not even power to love what heralds within you the beauty of the Spirit. Maria, for years now I have had to recognize that my own way to live the Spirit self becomes its opposite when mingling with the ways of others. Yet I must also see how rich with blessing this power of the Spirit is when it can reach the human soul by other paths. Parenthesis, enter Philea, Astrid, and Luna. Parenthesis. Maria continues, this power speaks in words, and in these words lies strength to lead men's way of thinking to cosmic heights, creating there a mood of joy where dreariness has been. And it can change frivolity of mind to worthy earnest feeling. It gives to men a sense of certainty, and I am completely seized by just this spirit power, but must perceive the pain and desolation it bears with it when pouring forth out of my heart into the hearts of others. Philea, it was as if a symphony, parenthesis, enter Professor Capaci and Dr. Strada, parenthesis, let me read that whole her whole thing without that description. It was as if a symphony of feelings and opinions had sounded in the circle, uniting us just now. Harmonious tones were there, but also many a harsher dissonance. Maria. When many people join in conversation, their words present themselves before the soul as if among them stood mysteriously the archetype of man. It shows itself diversified in many souls, just as pure light, the one, reveals itself within the rainbow's arch in many colored hues. Capacius. So, one has now in many years of earnest search explored the changing character of different epochs, examined, too, what was alive in those great spirits who set before men's souls the goals of life and wished to bring to light the groundwork of reality. One could believe to have enkindled the lofty powers of thought in his own soul and stirred up many questions about destiny. One could assume he felt the firm support of judgment in the mind whenever new experience pressed questions on the soul. But now, as so-called firm support begins to sway beneath me, when, amazed, I hear today, as I have heard before, the kind of thought that's furthered here, and it will break completely under me when I consider how far-reaching its consequences are in life. Quite frequently it has been my concern to bring what I have gleaned from mysteries of the past into such words that listening hearts might be both held and moved. And I was glad if I could really warm the smallest corner of my hearer's inner being. Indeed, I seem to have achieved some good. Of failure I cannot complain. But all this work of mine bears out the view which men of action love to emphasize, that thoughts are only shadows, nothing more nor less, within the realm of life's reality. They can indeed enkindle creative forces for our life. To shape them does not lie within thought's power. So I have long resigned myself to these few modest words, where only thought's pale shadows work, all life is paralyzed, and all that goes with life. More potent than the wisest words, enriched with art, will prove in life to be the gifts of nature, the talents, and also destiny itself. Tradition, like a mountain weight, and mindless prejudice will always crush the power of the best of words. Yet what is here revealed gives much for men like me to think about. Such an effect is easy to explain, where fervor of cult frenzy, pouring over souls, makes fools of men. But nothing of this kind is present here. Alone, through reason, is the soul approached. And yet you can create with words true strength for living and touch the deepest in the heart. Besides, this curious something can even penetrate the sphere of will, although to those like me who follow older paths, this something must appear as only shadowy thought. I am quite unequipped to disavow such things. I simply cannot let them work on me. So strangely does this all begin to speak, yet not as if it were for me to ward off such experience. It almost seems as if this something could not within itself endure me as I am. Strada, I do agree quite fully with those last words of yours, and I would emphasize more strongly even that all effects upon the soul which we observe arising from ideas cannot in any sense decide their value in the realm of knowledge. The question whether it is truth or error that's living in our thinking must face the single verdict of pure reason. And nobody can seriously deny that what here offers answers to solve life's greatest mysteries, in words of only seeming clarity, is quite unfit for such a scrutiny. It speaks alluringly to human minds and only tempts the credulous human heart. Claims to open doors into those realms before which, modest and perplexed with stern deliberation, science stands. Those truly faithful to this science ought to acknowledge that no one can know from whence are gushing the sources of our thought, or where life's first foundations lie. Though this admission will be hard for him who all too eagerly would know what lies beyond all knowledge, yet every glance imposes on the thinker's mind most forcefully the limits of this knowledge, should he be looking at the world outside or turning his attention inward. If we deny our reason and what experience has proved, our steps will sink in nothingness. And who can fail to see how little our modern forms of thought will seriously accommodate what here is claimed as novel revelation? Not much indeed is needed to show how utterly this revelation lacks what gives to thought its firm support and lends the sense of certainty. It may well warm the heart, this strange new revelation. The thinker sees in it mere wishful dreams. Philea. Such words will always come from knowledge that has been achieved through dry, prosaic reason. But this is not enough to satisfy the soul that needs to find belief in its own being. It will forever listen to the words which speak to it of spirit and strive to understand what formerly it dimly sensed. To speak of the unknowable may well allure the thinker, but never human hearts. Strada. I realize how much there lies in that objection. It's aimed at simple reasoners who only spin out threads of thought and ask what will result from this or that, on which they have already formed opinions. It can't, however, be applied to me. No outer cause has made me devote myself to thought. As child, I lived within a pious circle, beholding rites that overwhelmed my senses with pictures of the heavenly realms so skillfully displayed to comfort simple folk. And in my boyish soul, I felt at times pure bliss when I looked up in rapture toward highest worlds of spirit. To pray was then my heart's necessity. I had my schooling in a cloister, and so my teachers were the monks. The greatest longing in myself was to become a monk. This was my parents' warmest wish as well. Just as I was to be ordained a priest, a stroke of fate removed me from the cloister, and for this accident I must be grateful, for long since had my soul been robbed of its untroubled peace until chance rescued it. I had been meeting many things that have no place within a cloister. I came on natural science in some books that were forbidden me, and learned from them of modern research. Adjusting was laborious. I had to search out many paths. So what I found as truth was certainly not won by clever thought alone. In many heated battles I have torn from out my spirit what brought me peace and blessing as a child. I understand the heart with longings for the heights. But for myself, because I recognized that what all spiritual teaching brought was dream, I had to find the solid ground that only facts and science can impart. Luna. We each must understand in our own way the meaning and the goals of life. I surely lack ability to prove through modern science what I receive as spiritual teaching here. However, I feel clearly in my heart that but for it my soul would surely die, just as my limbs would die deprived of blood. Dear Dr. Strader, you have much to say opposing us, and what you have described about your inner struggles lends weight to all your words, with even those who cannot follow all you say. But I must often ask myself why it should be that common sense can find the words of spirit so plain and natural, and takes them warmly to itself, but feels a shivering of cold when it seeks nourishment of soul in words like those you have just spoken. Theodora, who has entered earlier. Although I feel at home here in this circle, the words which I must hear seem very strange to me. Capacious. And why this strangeness? Theodora. I cannot speak of it myself. Maria, you explain. Exit Theodora. Maria. Our friend has many times described a strange experience that befell her. She felt one day as though transformed, and nowhere could she find an understanding. All felt estranged by her peculiar nature, until she found our circle here. Not that we claim to understand what is unique in her, but through our kind of thinking, we become quite willing to accept unusual things. We value every sort of human being here. In our friend's life had come a certain moment when everything that had to do with her own life appeared to her to vanish. The past was all as if extinguished in her soul. And since this transformation first took place, this state of mind repeatedly returns. It lasts but a brief time, and otherwise she is like other people. But when she falls into this state, she lacks almost completely the gift of memory. The power also of her sight is gone. What lies around her she can feel, she does not see it. Her eyes begin to shine with a peculiar light, and pictures then appear to her, which first were dreamlike, but now they are so clear that only as the prophecy of times to come they can be understood. This we have often seen. Capacious. That is exactly what pleases me so little in this circle, that superstition is mixed up with logic and with reason. It has been always so for those who take such paths. Maria, if you can still say this, you do not know how we regard these things. Strader, as for myself, I must acknowledge to hear about such actual revelations is preferable to all these doubtful spirit teachings. For though I lack the answer to the riddle of such dreams, I see them nonetheless as facts. I take it there would be no chance for us to be a witness to this strange state of mind. Maria. Perhaps, for here she comes again. It almost seems as if this wonder wants to show itself. Theodora. I am impelled to speak. Before my spirit stands a form in shining light, and from it words sound forth to me. I feel myself in future times, and human beings I perceive who are not yet alive. They also see the form, they also hear the words, and thus they sound. You have lived long in faith, you have been comforted by hope, so now be comforted with sight, receive new life through me. I lived once in the souls who sought me in themselves, through words my messengers proclaimed, and through the strength of their devotion. You have beheld in the senses light, have had to put your faith in spirit realms. Now you have won a drop of spirit vision. Oh, feel it deeply in your souls. A human being emerges from the radiant light. It speaks to me. You shall proclaim to all who have the will to hear that you have seen what men shall soon experience. The Christ once lived upon the earth. And from this life it follows that he encompasses, as soul, men's growth on earth. He is united with the spiritual part of earth. But human beings could not yet behold him as he reveals himself in such a form of being, because they lacked the eyes of spirit, which later shall be theirs. But now the time draws near, when with new power of sight the men on earth shall be endowed. What once the senses could behold, when Christ lived on the earth, will be perceived by souls of men, when soon the time shall be fulfilled. Exit Theodora. Maria. It is the first time that she has come before so many people. She only has been moved before when two or three were present. Capacius. Seems indeed most strange that she should feel impelled, as though commanded or required, to make this revelation. Maria. That may seem so, and yet we know quite well her nature. If at this moment it was her wish to send her inner voice into your souls, the only reason must have been that the same voice's source wished thus to speak to you. Capacius. It's come to our attention that of this future gift of which she spoke, half dreaming, much mention has been made quite recently by him who is the one, we're told, inspiring all this circle. Is it not possible the content of her words could spring from him, and that the manner only will be from her? Maria. Were this in truth the case, we would not give it weight. The fact remains, however, after careful proof, until she came into our circle, our friend knew nothing of our leader's teaching, and none of us had heard of her before. Capacius. We have to do then simply with a fact such as occurs at times, conflicting with all the laws of nature, and which we must regard as illness. To judge life's riddles clearly can healthy thought alone accomplish, and what springs forth from wide-awake mentality. Strotter. And yet we have a fact before us. It certainly must be important what was just said to us. We might be forced, if we discard all other theories, to take transference of ideas through psychic power in earnest. Astrid. Oh, and if you could only step on to the ground your thought so anxiously avoids, the false belief that lets the revelations of such natures seem peculiar, strange, or even ill, would surely melt away as snow in sunlight. It is significant, but is not strange. For small appears to me this wonder when I behold the thousand wonders that every day surround me. Capacius. It is indeed one thing to recognize what's everywhere revealed, but quite another what is shown us here. Strotter. To speak of spirit is only needed when things are placed before us, which do not lie within the scope laid down with such precision by natural science. Astrid. The gleaming rays of sunlight that glisten in the morning dew, Felix Baldi enters, the spring that gushes from the rocks, the thunder rolling in the clouds, they speak to us a spirit language. I've sought to understand it. The might and meaning of this speech is only faintly mirrored in your scientific research. I felt my soul rejoice when such speech made its way into my heart, as human word and spirit science alone can grant to me. Felix Balder. That was a right good word. Maria. I must express to you how much my heart rejoices to see for the first time among us here, Felicia Baldi enters, a man I've heard so much about. It stimulates the wish to see him now more often here. Felix Balda. I'm unaccustomed to mingle with so many people, and not just unaccustomed. Felicia Balda. Ah, yes, it is the way with him. It keeps us quite in loneliness. Year in, year out, we hear scarce more than what we speak ourselves, and were it not for this good man, she indicates Capacius, who sometimes comes to our cottage, we'd hardly know that other people were alive. And if the man who spoke now yonder in the hall, with his good and noble words, has stirred us all so deeply, were not to meet my Felix going about his work, you would know nothing about us long-lost people.
Maria, so the professor often visits you?
Capesius, assuredly, and I must truly say I owe to this good lady my deepest gratitude. She gives me of her gifts so richly as no one else can do.
Maria, and of what nature are her gifts?
Capesius, I must allude, if I'm to tell about it, to something which in truth seems far more wonderful to me than much that I have heard of here, because it speaks more to my heart. I scarcely should be able to, in another place, to bring the words across my lips, which here I find so easy. I feel my soul at times as though entirely empty and exhausted. It is as if the very fountainhead of knowledge had run dry within me, as if I could not find one word that seems worthwhile to speak or to be heard. And when I feel such barrenness of spirit, then I escape and go where these good people have their refreshing, quiet solitude. And there Felicia tells me many a tale, in pictures fabulous, of beings dwelling in the land of dreams and in the realm of magic fairy tales, who live a motley life. The tone in which she tells of them recalls the bards of ancient times. I do not ask the sources of her words, but this one thing I clearly know, that new life wells and flows into my soul, dispelling its paralysis.
Maria, that such great things are said about Felicia's art, this blends harmoniously in every way with all that Benedictus said about the hidden fount of wisdom in his friend.
Felix Balda, as he's speaking, Benedictus appears in the doorway. The one who spoke just now, as if his spirit dwelt in cosmic spaces and eternities, has truly little reason to say much about a simple man like me.
Benedictus, my friend, you are mistaken. Of untold value is for me each word of yours.
Felix Balda, it was but meddling, the wish to chat, when you at times gave me the honor of walking at your side along our mountain paths. I only dared to speak because you hid how much you know yourself. But now our time is up, and we must go. We have a right long way to reach our quiet home.
Felicia Balda, it was a real refreshment to be for once among some people. It will not happen soon again. There is no other life will do for Felix but his mountains.
Exit Felix and Felicia.
Benedictus, Felicia indeed is right. He will not come so soon again. It's taken much to bring him here this time, and yet the reason does not lie with him, that no one knows of him.
Capesius, I took him only for some odd stick, and found him talkative the many times I spent with him, but his eccentric speech remains obscure to me, wherewith he brings to light the things he claims to know. He speaks of sun-born beings that dwell within the stones, of moon-dark demons who constantly disturb their work, about the sense of number in the plants. A listener will not for long find any meaning whatsoever in his words.
Benedictus, but one can also feel as if strong powers of nature sought within his words to manifest themselves in their own being's truth.
Exit Benedictus.
Strater, already I can feel that painful days are coming in my life, for since the time when in my cloister's loneliness I made my first acquaintance with that knowledge which struck relentlessly my deepest soul, has nothing moved me more than the encounter with this seeress.
Capesius, what should disturb you here so greatly I cannot see? I am afraid, dear friend, that if you lose your certainty of mind in this, you soon will find the gloom of doubt descending about everything around you.
Strater, the fear of just this doubt torments me frequently. From my experience, I have no knowledge otherwise about this gift of seership. But oftentimes, when unsolved riddles torture me, there rises ghost-like to my spirit vision a frightful dream-born being out of spirit darkness. It lies upon my soul like lead and terrifying clutches at my heart. It speaks through me. You must compel me with your stunted weapons of dull thought, or you are nothing but a fleeting phantom of your own delusion.
Theodosius, who has entered earlier. This is the fate of those who only can approach the world through thinking. The Spirit's voice, however, dwells within us. We have no power to penetrate the veil spread out before the senses, and thought can bring us knowledge merely of the things that disappear in course of time,
The spirit, the eternal, is only found within the inner depths of man. Strader. The fruit of pious faith is able to bring peace to souls who can, sufficient in themselves, seek out such ways. But strength of real knowledge will never thrive upon this path. Theodosius. Yet there are no other ways to quicken in the hearts of men true knowledge of the spirit, though pride can tempt one to distort to images of fantasy the genuine feelings of the soul. Enter Romanus and German and Helena. And it will paint alluring visions where only faith should be in simple beauty. Of everything said here in such an animated way as knowledge brought from higher worlds, one thing alone has value for the honest heart and mind, that only in the spirit world itself the soul can feel at home. The other Maria, who has entered with Theodosius. What is contained within such words may satisfy a man, as long as he feels moved to merely speak of things. But in the midst of life, with all its striving, its search for happiness, its misery, a different food is needed to hand to human souls. An inner urge has guided me to dedicate the rest of my whole life to those whose destiny has brought them suffering and need. And it was oftener my task to ease the pain within their souls than suffering of body. On many paths I felt indeed the weakness of my will, and constantly I had to win fresh strength from the abundance flowing here out of the fountain of the Spirit, the warm and magic power of words that here I listen to streams down into my hands and flows through them like balsam when they touch the sorrow-laden, and it transforms itself upon my lips to strengthening words which carry comfort to pain-racked hearts. I do not ask the source of these words' power. I look upon their truth. When full of life, they give me life. So every day I see more clearly that they derive their strength, not from my will in all its weakness, but daily they create myself for me anew. Capesius. But surely there are many who, though they lack this revelation, do untold good. Maria. Indeed, such people can be found in many places. But it is something else our friend would like to say. And when you learn about her life, you will speak differently. When unused forces can flourish in the bloom of youth, love springs abundantly out of the heart's good soil. Our friend, however, had exhausted her life's strong forces through excessive work, and all her courage was taken from her by bitter weight of destiny. She sacrificed her strength in bringing up her children carefully. Her courage ebbed when early death took her beloved husband from her. In such a state, fate seemed to have in store a weary remnant only of her life. But powers of destiny then brought her into our circle, and the teaching of the Spirit, wherein her own life forces blossomed a second time. With her new aims in life, fresh courage streamed into her heart. In her the Spirit has in truth, from the decaying seed, created the new-born man. And if, with such creative forces, the Spirit shows it can be fruitful, this seems to justify the way the Spirit is revealed. And now, let this be said without impertinence, that is, if pride does not lie hidden in these words, if in the heart there live high moral purposes, if we are sure our teaching is not our own achievement, that only Spirit explains itself within us, with this in mind it can be said that in your way of thought, there weave dim shadows only of the real sources of man's being. The Spirit which ensouls us unites itself in inward warmth with everything that in the depths of life spins human destiny. Throughout the years since I have been allowed to serve this active work, I've met with far more wounded hearts and far more longing souls than many would imagine. I prize the lofty flight of your ideas and your proud certainty of knowledge. I like to think that at your feet a throng of eager hearers sit, and that for many souls there flows from out your work uplifting clarity of thought. And yet it seems to me such certainty dwells in this thinking only, as long as it remains apart within itself. The kind of thought I follow sends into deep realities the fruitage of its words, because in deep realities it will implant its roots. Far distant from your thinking lies the script upon the spirit heavens, with forceful symbols heralding the new-grown shoot upon the tree of man. Though clear and sure may seem your thinking that lives on in the old way, it can supply the tree's dry bark, but does not reach into the living power of its heart. Romanus, I cannot find the bridge that leads across from mere ideas to actual deeds. Capesius, one undervalues here the power of ideas, but on the other hand, you fail to grasp the course of real life. Indeed, it is ideas that are the seeds of every human act. Romanus, if this good person has achieved so much, the impulse lies in her warm heart. When work is done, men surely need refreshment and renewal from ideas, but only training of the will, combined with skill and strength and all the genuine work of life, will further human progress. When whir of wheels is humming in my ears, and when contented human hands are laboring at machines, it's then I feel the powers of life at work. German, I've often lightly said in passing that I am fond of joking and only find in it some spirit, that for my brain it nonetheless remains a pleasant means to occupy the time between the hours of work and those of pleasure. But this remark has now become to me distasteful. An unseen power has laid hold of me, and I have learned to feel what is much stronger in our human nature than the thin house of cards our wit sets up. Capesius, and nowhere else but here have you been able to find such spiritual power? German, the life which I have led has brought me varied spirit values. I had no wish to pick their fruits. And yet this kind of thought has drawn me to myself, despite how little I myself have done. Capesius, we have enjoyed enriching hours here, and must be grateful to the hostess of this house. Everyone except Maria and Johannes go out. Johannes, stay here a little longer. I am afraid. Oh, so afraid. Maria, what is it? Tell me. Johannes, first came our leader's words, and then what all these people said. Now I feel shattered to the core. Maria, how could these words affect you so intensely? Johannes, each word became for me at every moment a frightful sign of my own nothingness. Maria, it was indeed significant to hear poured out in a short time so much about life's battles and human character and all this interplay of words. And yet it is the nature of the life we lead to wake the human spirit to expression. What otherwise is brought to light in course of time is here revealed within an hour or two. Johannes, a mirrored image of the whole of life, that showed me clearly to myself. What is revealed to us out of the spirit has led me to perceive how many men who think themselves a whole, in fact bear in themselves one single facet only, in order to unite within myself all these divergent sides. I started boldly on the path taught here, and it has made of me a nothing. What all these people lack, I know quite well. I also know they stand in life, and I in empty nothingness. Whole lifetimes were summed up in brief and weighty speeches, and my life too, as picture, rose within me. The days of childhood first were painted there with happy wealth of life. My youth was painted there with the proud hopes awakened in my parents' hearts by their sons' talents. The dreams of mastering an art, which were my very life in those glad days, they all rose warningly from spirit depths. And those dreams rose as well, wherein you saw me transmuting into form and color what lives for you in spirit. Then flames I saw leap forth, that turned the youthful artist's dreams and hopes to ashen nothingness. Out of this barren void, another picture formed itself. It was a gentle human being who once had linked her destiny with mine in faithful love. She wished to hold me years ago when I was called to go home to my mother's funeral. I wrenched myself away, for mighty was the force that drew me to your circle and to the goals put forward here. No sense of guilt remained in me from that past time, when I destroyed a bond which for the other had meant life itself. And when the message came to me that her life slowly ebbed away and finally succumbed, it never touched me till today. Just now our leader in that room expressed with earnest words how we may injure, even ruin, if our own striving is not right, the destiny of those bound to us in love. Oh, awful sounded back to me these words out of the picture, resounding forth from every side like an excruciating echo, "You are her murderer." And thus the forceful, earnest speech we heard has been the motive for the others to look into themselves. In me, however, it has quickened the consciousness of deepest guilt. Through it I can perceive how wrongly I have striven. Maria, in this grave moment, O my friend, you enter gloomy realms, and there is no one can help you, only he in whom we put our trust. Helena returns. Maria is called away. Helena, I feel compelled to stay a little while with you. Your eyes have looked unhappy now for weeks. How is it that the glorious shining light can bring such gloom into your soul when you, with all your strength, are striving for the truth? Johannes, and has this light brought only joy to you? Helena, not simply joy, as I knew formerly, but joy that springs up, bursting into life within the words through which the Spirit proclaims itself. Johannes, and yet I say to you, what works creatively can also crush. Helena, an error must be creeping then with craftiness into your soul, if this is possible, for if anxiety, instead of blissful freedom, and sorrowful despair, instead of joy of spirit, flow from the sources of the truth for you, then seek out all the faults that block your way. How often have we learned that health is the true fruitage of our teaching, and from it living forces bloom? How should it cause the opposite in you? I see these fruits in many people who gather trustingly around me here. Old ways of life become strange, and still stranger to the soul. New wellsprings open for the heart, which then renews itself. To see into the depths of being does not create desires which can torment. Exit Helena. Johannes, it took me many years to understand that what our senses show is an illusion, unless the knowledge of the Spirit can join with it as true companion. But that the words of highest wisdom are only an illusion in the soul, in you, a single moment has revealed. Curtain, end of scene 1 of The Portal of Initiation.